he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the 4/4/24 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and I'm guessing that Jerome Powell must have said something about a rate cut later this year. Got the market all excited. The Nasdaq's up 139 today. Almost 1%. The Nasdaq's at 16,415. The Dow's up 153. That works out to 40 basis points. So the Dow's at 39,280. The S&P is up 34 points to 5246. Small caps up 1.2%. That's got to mean that interest rates are down today. We'll check that in a bit. Crude oil down 7 cents. Wow, that's the first drop in many days. But just 7 cents. It's at 85.36. And I did notice it's starting to show up at the gas pump. Most of the diesel gas, I don't use diesel, but diesel above $4 a gallon again. Gold is down $9.30 after hitting a new all-time high yesterday. The 10-year is down 4 basis points to 4.32. That's got the market a little excited today. And Bitcoin is also excited, up 926 to 67,384. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this 4/4/24 edition. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 25 years as a professional money manager. Maybe I can add something to the conversation and the observations here today of the market. But I'm guessing, Barry, yesterday afternoon Jerome Powell was speaking. And did he say something about a rate cut? Did he reiterate rate cut language?
Yeah, he really essentially, you know, kind of the, you know, highlighted, you know, kind of topic or point or sentence that I've heard over and over again ever since is really, you know, just that the fact that the data, right, that has come in hasn't changed, you know, his view, right, in terms of the fact that there will be rate cuts, right, in this year and maybe not too far off in the distant future. But, you know, essentially that the quote-unquote data-dependent Fed wasn't, you know, essentially their minds weren't changed by any of the recent data that's came out was really kind of the, you know, I guess the piece of information that the markets kind of latched onto, at least for a little bit today. And, of course, you had the weekly jobless claims came in a little bit higher than expected, and so you get you've got that kind of back and forth narrative between when's it coming in?
Yeah, and I see the lineup today: Fed's Harker speech, Fed's Barkin speech, Fed's Goolsbee speech, Fed's Mester speech, and last but not least, Fed's Kashkari speech.
Yeah.
Five speeches today from the Fed. The market will gyrate around with that.
And I think there's also two others speaking, but I think they're not. I don't think they get counted because they're not speaking on monetary policy.
A total of
seven today, and if that's not enough, you don't get your fill today. You had six for tomorrow.
So good.
Last week we had last couple of weeks went on Thursday and Friday. We've had NCAA basketball games. Instead, this week
you get Fed
talk. So enjoy.
Well, gold. I mean, whatever they're doing, they're pumping gold because gold hit a new all-time high yesterday, $2,309 an ounce. You also had the oil and gas sector very strong once again yesterday. And the metals, copper in particular, very strong as I looked across the board on a lot of charts. Freeport Mac brand continues to be impressive. And then just the gold ETF, GLD, the silver ETF, SLV. And then a lot of oil stocks popping yesterday. Once again, the Canadian oil sand stocks, even the gasoline. That's not good for Biden's ratings.
Olive oil was even he's even had a price spike.
I didn't know I could. Well, I do invest in olive oil, but it goes quickly.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's very liquid at our house.
It's for usage. But the, I mean, just the commodity space across the board has really, come alive from a price perspective, whether it was, cocoa, which I think had to do with, some weather issues and some other things. And then same thing on the olive oil side. I think there was some drought there, particularly in Spain, that's led to some of that. And then you go into oil, and essentially every piece of it, all the way to the pump. As you said, I've been seeing it here and there at the pump, but you're certainly starting to feel it as you see those diesel prices go up. Whether you use it or not, your goods are coming. Most of your goods are coming
via diesel fuel.
So that's a potential cost increase going down the line.
Well, this price of plants for the yard this year, transportation's a big factor there in that. Well, Jerome Powell repeats the need for more evidence before cutting rates, but he also reiterated that he does expect rate cuts by the end of the year. The European stocks were up this morning on that news. We had the Disney vote yesterday. They voted to keep Iger in as the leader. All of the activist investors lost out, and Disney stock is up a little bit today. It's up 0.5%. It's had a pretty good run recently. Disney's up about $30, about 35%. Since the beginning of the year. So it's one of the leading stocks in the market right now after struggling for many, many years here. Okay, U.S. planned jobs cuts. Yeah, you could say that's a little bit on the bearish side. They rise 7% in March. Job cuts, that is. Challenger jobs cuts report says, in the first quarter, employers announced 90,309 job cuts, up 7% from the previous month. But we still continue to have a very strong economy. I went on a little ride yesterday, and I saw some hiring. Who did I see? I saw Volvo is definitely has the hiring sign out. And there was another one, I can't think who it was, another big manufacturer here in South Carolina that had the hiring sign up also. Yellen's in China today to discuss unfair trade and industrial overcapacity. This is her second trip in the past year. She's going to have 4 days of meetings with top Chinese officials. She's not meeting with the big guy, however, just some of the underlings here.
Right.
President Biden met with the big guy yesterday.
Yeah, I guess what, on the phone, right? When had a phone call? Yeah, the interesting thing in here in this point is, China has been, we've seen some better increased production, right, in terms of industrial production there. One of the big things that they can affect and they can kind of flip the switch on happens to be electric vehicles.
Yes.
And they've produced, right, a lot lately.
Flooding the market would be a better terminology for it.
Right, and they've done this plenty of times. You can look back at solar panels. They really almost destroyed the U.S. solar panel industry for a couple of years there, where they just dumping different products. Of course, an EV would be a more sophisticated product than dumping steel or solar panels. But that's kind of what her argument is on this. They don't want to happen. And then, of course, I think as she showed up, I think Boyd announced a electric pickup truck. So they welcomed her with a new vehicle option.
And that's Ford's cash cow is their right. Is the truck. And, you know, I mean, she's kind of doing the bidding here of Elon Musk, who said, if we don't establish trade barriers here in the U.S., and, of course, Trump's been commenting on this. He used the word bloodbath if we let those Chinese EVs in. But Musk said the Chinese automakers will pretty much demolish most other car companies in the world. And then, of course, yeah, like you say, they're greeting her with an announcement from BYD that they're going to launch their first electric pickup this year, taking on Tesla's Cybertruck and others. And here's the thing. They're obliterating their rivals on price and sales. They're just flooding the market, and they're cheaper cars. All right, we'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, what can we do about China's, dumping these products on the market? Well, President Biden can unilaterally impose new tariffs on Chinese products without the approval of Congress. Now, I don't remember him. Do you remember any tariffs that he's imposed since he's been president? I can't think of any.
I mean, I think mainly what he's done is hasn't taken any of Trump's tariffs off from a Chinese perspective. But they've of course had the chips legislation, right, where they kind of curb the what chips could go over there. That technically not a tariff, right? In that example, but they certainly at least appeared to be a little more active against China than say the Obama administration was. But there is already, I've done some research in terms of the electric cars, not that any are here yet, but I do believe there's like a 25% tariff, right, on I think it's on an EV or an automobile that comes from China to the U.S. So there is some, there is a tariff in place already. The difference is with China and some of their production, they're able to, even with, say, that tariff that's already in place, could be very price competitive. So,
well, I mean, you look at solar panels, which there's a lot of them being produced and being spread around the world. A solar module made in China is 65% cheaper than the one made in America. That's a significant difference. And I know that First Solar has been warning the Biden administration, saying, they're wiping out our solar industry. And Beijing's share of the market is about 80%, and it's going to remain about 80% for quite some time. And while China is producing all of these solar clean energy panels, they're the world's largest polluter on the planet. So you kind of have a paradox there. NVIDIA sees no disruptions to their chip supply from the Taiwan earthquake. Pretty amazing how a 7.4 earthquake couldn't have that much disruption. I know there's some coal miners. Last I heard, there were 70 of them trapped underground. NVIDIA stock is basically flat. It's up $5 a share. To $8.95. Its all-time high is $9.74. NVIDIA has finally leveled off. It took off in January of this year. It doubled. It went from $4.73 to $9.74. That's almost exactly a double. And then from there, it had that big reversal day. Reversal days, I have found to be pretty accurate. A reversal day is when a stock is up large and hitting new all-time highs. And by the end of the day, it's given it all up and closed to the downside. That's what, in technical analysis terms, we call a reversal day. And I would just say that after that reversal day about 4 weeks ago on NVIDIA, I think it's 4 weeks this Friday, the stock's been going sideways ever since. So take note of those big reversal days, especially if you're a trader, as an opportunity to sell and to lock in profits. Gold jumps to another record high after Powell's remarks. Well, you know, gold is mostly, it seems like, mostly reacting to rate cut news. That seems to be the big driving force behind gold. And who knows? I mean, there could be some big foreign players. Usually when you see gold prices, Russia is involved somehow in that. And silver hit its best level. I think it's over 26, closing in on $27 an ounce since June of 2021. And those stocks have been doing very well. The ETFs, copper, gold, and, of course, I mentioned oil. Oil prices hitting $85 a barrel. Demand seems to be a big driver right now, and tensions in the Middle East, which are ratcheting higher. I heard Khomeini out of Iran, you know, really, really wagging the finger at Israel over the attack on the embassy in Damascus, Syria, and the great repercussions that are coming. And, of course, the worst-case scenario would be an all-out war between Iran and Israel, which I don't even want to think about that. That would be massive. It's bad enough that it looks like Hezbollah and Israel will eventually go head-to-head in an all-out war up there in the northern border of Israel. And, of course, the energy stocks doing very well. Antero Midstream's been one of the leaders that I've noticed. That's AM. The oil sand stocks, Suncor, SU, Imperial Oil, IMO, but pretty much across the board. And then it also has spread out to all of these equipment and drilling companies, Precision Drilling, Seadrill, Tidewater, etc., Technic, FMC. And then it's spread out to the tankers that carry the oil, so Scorpio Tankers, a few others there. They're also that whole oil industry, the stocks and the refiners, Marathon, MRO, Valero, VLO, all very, very strong here recently. The top sector in the market right now. Okay, copper also pushing to a 14-month high as demand rises. And that's usually linked to, economies, growth, building. And copper is a very good bellwether of that. And those copper stocks have been doing very, very well. Now, another shortage arising here, Barry. This is one we got to worry about. Zepbound. That's Eli Lilly's drug for weight loss. Eli Lilly's weight loss drug in limited availability through the end of April. It remains in short supply amid increased demand. I'm starting to notice more and more people too that their pants are fitting a little bit better. All of a sudden, there's some unexplained weight loss going on there.
It is spring break season down here, I guess, Bill. But yes. That's what I thought. That story that you mentioned yesterday about Costco, having a prescription for weight loss program. That you'd pay basically every 3 months. To me, it's really like you're paying access for these drugs, right? They're like a gateway because you know Costco can get a hold of them.
Yeah, and the one they're having the hardest time with is the starter, the beginning, which is 5 milligrams Short Supply. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We have a rally continuing in the market today on this 4/4/24. We have, obviously, we're in the second quarter now of 2024. Believe it or not, earnings season will begin next week. It's here upon us again. It seems like we just finished the last earnings season, but every 90 days, and it will begin with the Fastenal. Usually they're the first one, 7 days from today. So, yeah, middle of next week, and then I think next Friday you'll get, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, the big...
start getting the financials, huh?
The big banks kicking off, and we'll see what... right now, I think we're looking for about a 4% rise in earnings versus this same quarter last year. And that holds the key to the future of the markets, that earnings growth's got to keep up to support the multiple that we're at. We're at a very lofty multiple that needs to be fed a lot of earnings to stay satisfied. And if it's not fed those earnings, that multiple's going to start to shrink. It's currently at around 21 or so. Even Jeremy Siegel, you know, yesterday he said it belongs around 20. So that would be a 5% correction to get it back into line. And if it's 19, it would take an 8 to 10% correction to get it back into line. In the meantime, the NASDAQ's up 123 today. The Dow is up 147. We'll go into the particulars in the final segment of the show. And the S&P 500 is up 34 points. You know, the tech sector has... It's been spotty, okay? It's stock-specific since everything started cooling off. It really, NVIDIA's the leading stock. You know, as NVIDIA goes, so goes the tech sector. That's the way I look at it right now. And you've got NVIDIA that has been going sideways now for about 4 weeks, and so has the NASDAQ. But there's been stocks within the NASDAQ, within the tech sector. You know, lately I've noticed some really good action in Facebook. Let's see if it's following through again today. Yeah, there you go. There's a breakout in Meta platforms today. I pointed that out yesterday when I sent out my best charts now. That's as I get done with my day. Looking at charts, I always send out what caught my eye. And yesterday I had 4 tech stocks that caught my eye. We own Meta, all right? And because Meta started paying a dividend here recently, Meta is also in our dividend and growth portfolio. And that's a really nice breakout. That's a
great
nice chart.
Yeah.
Very good. And I still have Meta with over 80% upside potential, so it's still, whether you like Zuckerberg or not, okay, and most people don't, his popularity is probably 9%, 8%, something like that. You know, it's all about the company, the eyeballs on Facebook, and the earnings. The most recent quarter, earnings up 203%, sales up 25%. Those are blowout earnings for a $1.3 trillion company. The few other tech stocks that caught my eye, Qualcomm. Qualcomm is definitely going to be a player in this AI, especially in the cell phone part of it. And that's a good chart. I mean, that looks like a pending breakout to me. Qualcomm's been hitting new 52-week highs. It meets my valuation criteria. And, of course, Micron has really been screaming since their earnings report, the flash memory. It may be a little bit overdone here, but that chart still catches my eye. You know, the other one I'm here, well, Semtech also is a littler one. That's a small chip company, I think, out of Israel, SMTC. The other one I'm hearing some rumors that Amazon may start paying a dividend. Which, that's kind of, you know, now that it's in the Dow, you almost have to, I think every stock in the Dow pays a dividend of some sort, if I'm not mistaken.
You would guess. Usually most of them are kind of more mature companies, if you will, right?
Yes. So there's probably some pressure on Amazon. I mean, even if they pay 1 cent, 2 cents, whatever, 5 cents, then that would qualify for our dividend and growth portfolio. The other one that's been making some noise here recently is Alphabet. And, you know, they stumbled big time, and now they're back on going up again. They've been all over the place. And now you're at all-time highs with Alphabet. It's closing in on $2 trillion. It's $1.9 trillion. I pulled the plug on my Alphabet holdings. I just felt like, you know, they keep stumbling. They keep stumbling. They had that big, what was the Gemini AI that was tilted, you know, very much, and I don't know.
Yeah, the narrative, I think, too, the narrative that, you know, virtually, you know, the front interface of all AI is really search, right? Because you've got to search things before it can give you, you know, answers and figure out things for you. And so when you think about it, Google, who's the leader in search, right, is the one who, you know, basically is in a position where they have to maintain market share and be disrupted versus all the other companies out there, whether it's Microsoft or other players who are, you know, essentially trying to disrupt them. So it's always better to be on the disruptor side than the disrupted side.
And they're talking about putting a paywall in front of their AI where you'd have to subscribe to it. I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
I can see where you'd have businesses would subscribe to it. I mean, there's money in data, I would guess, right? And
yeah.
So from the back engine side, I could see, you know, obviously their tools being a cost to those. But on the front end, on the search side, I guess you would pay if you want a better search as a just a normal internet user, maybe, I guess.
Story that caught my eye here today, a stock that needs something. They need some kind of company, needs some kind of a catalyst. It does look like maybe Apple's finally putting in a bottom around 170. Apple said to be looking at personal robots for the next big thing.
New thing, yeah. A robot that follows you around your house, Bill.
Well, you know, I don't know that I want a robot following me around. I can't imagine negotiating the stairs and everything.
I don't know.
But they're working on a home device that sits on tables and uses robotics to move around. The efforts are still in the beginning stages, and Apple may never release the products. They scrapped their work on electric vehicle project in February, which I think is a good move. We've seen how electric vehicles have really gone out of favor here recently. So I guess that maybe they've launched their first robot, the Astro Robot, in 2021. So anyway,
if you see, I was looking at the stock, which wasn't moving much, but look at iRobot stock was moving pretty significantly.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they'll buy out iRobot.
It's back down now, but it was up like, I don't know, 5% at one point in the pre-market because, you know, people are like, oh, well, if Apple's into, making robots, well, then, you know, maybe iRobot can sell some robots to
you. Yeah. You know, if I could get one to cook dinner without burning the house down and not overcooking the burger, you know, maybe. I don't know. Uber Eats starts making food deliveries via Waymo autonomous vehicles, okay? Call up. This is going to happen in Phoenix. Why does Arizona get all these Waymo experiments? They also get the crashes. There was a crash. The lady was killed on a bike by a Waymo. This is going to happen in Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa, and Chandler. I have a lot of friends in that neck of the woods.
I got some clients in that area, too.
They'll have their orders delivered by Waymo autonomous vehicles. I don't know. Does it pull up and honk the horn? You go out. I don't know how it's going to work, but that's it. And then here's another one. This is a pretty big deal here. NASA picks Intuitive Machines. They're the ones that landed that thing on the moon,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Well, even though it tipped over, NASA is picking them. $4.6 billion contract. How'd you like to be the salesman that landed that contract?
Yeah, not bad.
That's going to be a fat commission. Lunar, L-U-N-R. Okay, when we come back, we'll take a look underneath the surface of the moon. No, not the moon. The market. We'll be right back. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, let's take a look underneath the surface of the market. When I look at the entire market, there is one stock that I know quite a bit about that it's up 111% today. That's Allurion Technologies, A-L-U-R. And it's an interesting stock. Their cure for weight loss is to insert a balloon of some sort in your stomach. I don't know if it's permanent or if you swallow a pill that expands into a balloon, something like that. And so you feel full.
It just fills you up, huh?
Yes. It's a medical device for weight loss. It does not require surgery. It does not require endoscopy for removal. Yeah, that stock's up 101% today.
Wow.
It's doubling. Maybe that's on the Zepbound news. I don't know. I don't see any new news there, but that is the biggest winner in the market today. Allurion, A-L-U-R, which is out of Massachusetts. Okay, now, in the Dow... The standout in the Dow for me is Travelers. The insurance stocks continue to be, that would be the other sector I would point to. You know, the first month, maybe the first half of the first quarter of this year was all about AI. Then you had that reversal day on NVIDIA, and the AI stocks have kind of gone into sideways mode. Moving up the ladder and kind of taking the baton have been the oil and gas stocks, the metals stocks, the infrastructure, and to some extent the insurance stocks. They've done very well. If you think about it, you know, you think, well, that's a really boring industry. Berkshire Hathaway basically is an insurance company, right, Barry?
Among concrete companies and other things.
Yeah,
I mean, they're actually in a lot of quote unquote boring things, right?
Yeah, they're
railroads
and a lot of insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he owns Geico and a few others there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways. Travelers is the chart of the day. They're hitting a new all-time high in the Dow. And, of course, it's in Minneapolis. Well, it was. Now it's in New York. Maybe it's I thought it was in Minneapolis. Well, it listed as New York, New York. Travelers hitting a new all-time high today. It's not a trillion-dollar company, far from it. Just $53 billion, which seems like peanuts when you put it up against these big tech giants. And we will be heading to Minnesota, by the way, several weeks after our Sarasota trip. We're headed back to Minneapolis to Bloomington, where we stay at the Radisson Blue, the Mall of the Americas. A Mall of America, not the Americas, the Mall of America. Somebody correct me on that. All right, now, also in the Dow today, there's not much else that stands out to me. J.P. Morgan's up 1.2%. They report earnings a week from today. They'll kick off earnings season. The biggest loser in the Dow is Salesforce. Listen, those software stocks were the first ones to settle down and start going sideways. Salesforce would be a major bellwether for that sector. It is the largest, outside of Microsoft, I suppose. Yeah, definitely. It is probably the second most important software stock because it is in the Dow.
And has an AI angle, too. I mean, that's the other piece in terms.
This stock is going sideways. It's been going sideways now for about 6-7 weeks. And that is a big influence over the NASDAQ. That's one of the big reasons why the NASDAQ has started going sideways. And you can look at a software ETF and you can see that. You know, before they started going sideways, that was one of the hottest sectors in the entire market, especially the cyber security stocks and CrowdStrike and a few others. That whole software sector has really cooled off. Okay, as we look at the S&P 500 today for the winners and the losers, the biggest loser I see is Lamb Weston. You know, that's a French fry stock, kind of, a potato spun off from ConAgra, down 17%. Paramount is down 8.9%, getting clobbered today. Gap Stores is down 1.8%. I read that Gap Stores is being sued by Coach, you know, the high luxury brand, Gap Stores' Old Navy outlets have been selling T-shirts with the Coach logo on the T-shirt, on the shirt itself, which does seem like a violation there.
Yeah,
to
you
me.
Would think so, yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. And AMD is down 1.5% today. AMD is definitely in a sideways pattern, and it definitely leans to the weak side right now. The best chart I see in the Dow or in the S&P 500 today is Meta. Up almost 3% today.
Yeah, that chart looks great whenever I pulled it up when you were talking.
And then here's your powerhouse chart of the day once again. GE, which has been on just an incredible run. And since it split, it's got even more juice here. Hitting a new 52-week high is GE, which is undergoing a massive turnaround that other CEOs could not pull off. Okay, let's look at the NASDAQ. Not much there. Meta is the best chart in the NASDAQ today. AMD is probably the weakest chart in the NASDAQ today. That's a shaky chart on AMD. It needs to hold on to support level here, which so far it's been doing, but if it breaks that support level, they could have further downside risk. It's already down about 50 points from its recent high, so it's already undergone a pretty healthy correction. All right, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter with all our portfolios, the whole enchilada, You can go to GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us about our money management and financial planning. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.